Begin Podfix Network transmission in 3, 2, 1.
No pressure, but Keith and Trisha both nailed it.
Oh God! See, I got a lot to live up to. I'm this is what's giving me the anxiety, but I think I can do this.
Well, the one thing that you can be confident that you're better at than Keith is clapping.
See, this again, I was thinking about this as I was listening to Keith's claps, and I feel like I would be able to only perform just that much better than Keith at the claps.
Well, I mean, it can be very intimidating to be on our show.
Yeah.
But the least intimidating part is to outclap Keith.
I appreciate that. That actually puts me at ease a lot.
Yeah, because he sets a very low bar on his show for synchronized clapping.
I've heard that. Well, hello, listeners. You're listening to This Week Today, a comedy podcast that takes a brief look at this week in history, news, entertainment, and more.
Welcome to the show. I'm Toph. I'm not joined by my regular co-host, Lord Saunders. Instead, I'm joined by a very special guest. He's one half of Champa and Klein, the creators of your favorite 80s TV podcasts, including their current project, The Airwolf Years. Please welcome Dave Champa.
Oh, Chris, thank you so much for having me on the show. I am very excited to be a part of this episode.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to have you here. Now we've known each other online and just through podcasting for quite a while. We've wanted to have you on, and we just weren't having really guests just because we've shortened the show.
Yeah.
But from time to time, we do need stand-in co-hosts for Adam or myself, and so you're near the top of my list. We were thrilled that you were able to make it.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Again, I've been listening to the show for a couple of years, and you know, I joined the Gravity Beard Interns on Facebook and all the other pages. It's one of my favorite places to be on social media. So I was really excited when you reached out to me a few weeks ago to sub in for Adam.
Oh, that was nice of you to say. Well, yeah, we're very happy to have you. Now, I did want to ask you something, if you're willing to talk about it.
Yes.
Now, you were a little concerned that you were going to be maybe a little bit late to our time together.
Correct.
Because you're rehearsing for something.
Yes, I am.
Are you willing to share what you were rehearsing?
Absolutely. Just a little small quick backstory. I've been a performer. Stage acting is one of my passions. I've been doing it since the late 90s. And, you know, due to the pandemic and everything like that, we haven't really been able to be on stage recently. So my 11-year-old daughter and I are actually in a production of The Legend of Sleepy Hollow at one of our local theaters that is just kind of reopened and is reintroducing theater back to the community. So we're doing a production of Sleepy Hollow right now, she and I.
Wow. So yeah. Not only is it incredibly fun, obviously, to get back to theater, but you're doing it with your daughter. How great is that?
And that's to me, that was more the impetus for me getting back on stage, was just she's kind of shown an interest in it. So I've really wanted to be a part of that with her and kind of work her through this. And it just so happens that the director is my brother-in-law's best friend. So it kind of actually is a little bit easier for her. But, you know, acting and being on stage is one of my biggest passions. And I'm hoping that I can in some way transfer that over to her as well.
Now, do you have any other children?
I do. I have an 8-year-old daughter as well, and she was actually a couple of years ago, pre-pandemic, the four of us, my wife, daughters, and I, were all in a production of Annie.
Wow. So it's a family affair.
It is. It is. All of us on stage. It was glorious.
That's awesome. It's so fun to be able to do that as a group.
Yeah, we're having a lot of fun with it, and so she's got a little bit of a bigger part in this show. She's got a few extra lines that she's trying to memorize, and I've got a few bit parts, kind of different characters throughout the show, so it's just been really fun to just kind of get back on stage. I really miss it.
Yeah, no, I've been hoping to get back to improv comedy and haven't been able to do it yet, but I'm hoping very soon. So does your younger daughter mind that you're showing a huge amount of favoritism to her older sister?
She, you know what? She is just as happy. Half the time when we leave for rehearsal, she doesn't even know we're gone. Like, it's like, all right, buddy, we'll be back in couple hours. I barely get a response. I think she's doing just fine.
Oh, good. So she already at the age of 8, she's developed a sense of indifference towards you.
That is exactly right. And I just hope it continues to grow as we hit the, you know, the prepubescent and, you know, teenage years and onward. So I just continue to.
Well, I think it'll grow from indifference to maybe she doesn't even like you at all. So,
It could happen. It really could happen.
Kind of like your co-host, and I have the same dynamic with my own co-host.
This is exactly right. I feel like 90% of the time we do this, Greg does it just to placate me. I'm pretty sure he's just not interested in any capacity anymore in the show, but he just does it because he knows I want to.
Well, Adam is actually completely available. He's got nothing going on, but he just refuses to come on the show once in a while.
Oh, fantastic. Well, it's funny that you said that. So that's what happened last week. I had to have a co-host sub in. We were due to have a third host for the show anyway. Uh-huh. But when I texted Greg to make sure he was good, he had gone ahead and just made plans anyway on the night we were due to record. So I had to have the guest step up and be my co-host for the night.
Yeah, so same. So I texted Adam. I was like, hey, we gotta schedule our next couple of recordings. And he just responded with, nah. That was his text back to me.
Yeah, that's how it happens with Greg. He's like, nah, I think I'm good. I already made plans. Oh, okay. Well, I'll just, I'll see who wants to do this with me, or I'll do it alone. Either way.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm glad to find out that our situations are so similar.
Absolutely.
Well, let's go ahead and get started. We'll take a look at the calendar of special days so everyone knows what to celebrate this week. Now, Dave, I'll warn you, collectively, and we've been doing the show for a while, this is the strangest list of days we've ever had on the show.
I was looking over them and just kind of getting an idea of what we were looking at here. And I'm like, these are some strange days, man.
Yeah, which is appropriate because we're kind of living in some strange days right now.
We sure are. Absolutely.
So this will just add to it. So today, and I already have been, I've been doing this all day. Talk Like a Pirate Day is today.
Perfect.
Then tomorrow is National Gibberish Day. I should have no problem with that. Tuesday is World Gratitude Day. Wednesday is National Legwear Day, which I would say pants, but maybe not. Thursday is National Teal Talk Day. I have no idea what that is. Friday is National Punctuation Day. I know what that is, but I don't know how I would celebrate it. And then on Saturday, you can wrap up this very odd week of celebrations with Math Storytelling Day.
I don't really want to tell stories about math if that's what they're trying to get at, because
it just doesn't
seem like anything I'm interested in.
No, I don't. I mean, storytelling, fine. I think you and I both like that.
Yeah.
But I don't even know what maybe it's SAT prep. I'm not sure.
Possibly. And the other one is Teal Talk Day seems a little interesting, too. I mean, what would you do there? Do you just talk about the different shades of teal? Like, what do you do there?
Perhaps you get together with a friend or family member and just go back and forth naming things that are teal.
Okay. I could get behind that. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. Although I don't even know if I could come up with a thing that's specifically known for being teal.
This entire conversation, I'm just thinking about what could possibly be teal. I don't even think I have anything that's sitting around me right now that I could think of that would be teal.
Right. So I didn't want to put you on the spot and say, okay, Dave, go. You start. Because I think you would just be done, and then I wouldn't have one either, and then that'd be it.
No, I honestly have nothing in my vicinity. Nope, as I'm looking. Oh, you know what? I found something in my room, in my office right here. The 8th season of Friends on DVD is in a teal box.
Is that right? Seriously?
It is. It
wow.
really is.
Okay. Oh, wait. Hang on a second.
Oh, yes.
The top of my water canister. That's close to teal.
I would put that there, absolutely, and I think we've exhausted our... I think that's it. That's about as back and forth as we can get.
Yeah, and as I say in theater, and scene.
Scene. Done.
All right. Well, with that, let's turn our attention to this week in history.
All right. So in 1875, Billy the Kid was arrested for the very first time. Flash forward again a little bit here to 1946. The first Cannes Film Festival had premiered. 1957, Nevada is the site of the first ever underground nuclear explosion. Couldn't help but think about Indiana Jones in the fridge during this era of time. A few years later, 1963, Kennedy proposes a joint mission to the moon. 1968, the first episode of 60 Minutes airs. 1975, President Gerald Ford survives his second assassination attempt in 17 days. 1985, George Clooney makes his debut on The Facts of Life. 1988, Greg Louganis wins the Olympic gold the day after suffering a head injury. 1995, the Unabomber Manifesto was published. And in 2012, I've been laughing about this all week, the Amish were convicted of beard-cutting attacks. I can't. It's, I just, that's, the visions in my head of just these people just running around with, like, I know it's like this, just like giant scissors, like just chasing these people down, like cutting their, just every time I think about it now.
You know, see, in my head, it's different. It's these incredibly polite people saying, get over here, I'm going to cut your beard. And then people are like, no, I don't want that. And they're like, oh, okay. And then they just move on.
Oh, okay. All right, I guess we don't have to.
How about this chair? Can I sell you this chair?
Have a seat right here, and I'm going to cut your beard in this homemade chair. Please.
Please. No? Please, may I?
Okay.
Yeah. And then circling back to the Gerald Ford, that's unelected President Gerald Ford.
Yes. Yes. Sweet, sweet Gerald Ford.
Fine man. Did serve sort of as president, but he was not elected by the people.
Correct.
No. Dave, it's time for the news.
Oh, this is my favorite part of the show. I just, the jingle gets me going every time. I love this.
Dave, this story takes place in Slovenia. Slovenia.
Ooh.
Okay.
Slovenia? Slovenia.
Slovenia, I would say, maybe.
Okay, we're going to go with that.
All right, perfect.
This takes place in Slovenia. A court in Slovenia on Friday sentenced a 22-year-old woman to 2 years in prison for deliberately cutting off her hand with a circular saw to make a fraudulent insurance claim.
That's just... God, what? But, just words are escaping me completely.
I understand.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the times, Dave, when you committed insurance fraud, how did you do it? Because I'm assuming you did. I saw you had your hands. You had both your hands.
I do have both my hands, but I will tell you that prior to the current job I have now, I did work for a prosthetist's office who specialized in state-of-the-art prosthetic hands and legs. So, I mean, yes, you see my hands, but are they real or are they not is the big question.
Are they your hands?
Are they my hands?
I was expecting you to say, oh, no, that's not how I would commit insurance fraud. But now I suspect that maybe that is the way you did it.
I'm just saying, this guy is one of the best. I've seen fingers, I've seen digits and limbs and legs that look, I mean, you can't tell the difference. So I'm just saying, that's how I was going to do it, I've known this guy for a long time. So I could probably get a nice leg out of it if I had to.
So you've got to connect is what you're saying.
I do. I have a really big connection in the prosthetics world.
Wow. I don't think I realized, what a coincidence it was going to be for you to sub in for Adam with this being the story. So you might actually, I don't expect you to cop to it, but you may have actually done this.
It's possible. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, the district court in the name of some city I can't pronounce said that, said that Julia Adleschik.
Perfect.
Here's what happened. About a year earlier, she signed contracts with five different insurance companies, the court said. The woman stood to collect more than €1 million. So that's a lot. So,
wow.
Not a bad plan. I mean, if you're going to do something crazy, you might as well walk away with a lot of money.
Absolutely.
And about half of it would have been paid immediately and the rest in regular monthly installments. So she would have immediately gotten €500,000.
Wow, good for her.
Yeah, so don't judge. There's a lot of money here at stake.
I wouldn't even think about it.
I mean, if somebody held a gun to your head and said, "What's your best plan for coming up with €500,000?" I don't know. Maybe I don't know if I could come up with something better.
I honest to God, I can't think of anything off the top of my head that would be better than just like, I mean, I do I how I mean, if I'm a lefty, I don't need the right, right?
Oh, and that's the point. You've got two of them, and she chose her left, so I'm assuming she's right-handed, so she kind of thought through that. So, I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't criticize.
Just saying. She may be onto something here, you know? And if, like I said, if you know a good prosthetics guy, then you really shouldn't have to worry too heavily about it.
Right. I agree. So, the pair had taken her to the hospital, saying she had... So, here was their explanation when accused.
Okay.
She'd injured herself while sawing branches.
With a circular saw. Okay, nope, perfect.
Yeah. Uh-huh, yep. Authorities said they left... Oh, yeah, I forgot about this part of the story. The authority said she left the severed hand behind. So I think that was an oversight. Why, if you're going to show up to the hospital, why not bring the hand?
Absolutely.
But it's okay because the police recovered it and it was reattached.
They put it back on?
Yeah, according to the story.
Oh yeah. Man, what a letdown. And now she's out. How much money is she out on this?
Well, I'll get to that.
Okay.
Prosecutors say that days before the incident, her boyfriend searched for information on the internet about how artificial hands work. So that's a red flag.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, the authorities claim that that's proof that it was done deliberately. I certainly agree with that.
Yeah. Clear the browser history.
Yeah, right. It seems so easy. Like, just hit clear.
Right.
Just clear that out.
Right. That's it. That's all you got to do.
Takes like 2 seconds. During the trial, the woman claimed innocence, saying she would never have cut off her hand deliberately. She says, "No one wants to be crippled," she told the court. "My youth has been destroyed. I lost my hand at the age of 20. Only I know what happened." So that seems like a really weak defense. Like, like, what do you mean? Why would I do that? I don't know. Why did you do that?
Boggles the mind. Absolutely boggles the mind.
Yeah. So her defense for herself was, why would I do that?
I don't think she's going to win. I'm just saying. Don't think she's got a good case here.
No, as a matter of fact, she did not. The trial did attract lots of public attention in the small Alpine state, it says. I don't think I knew that Slovenia was part of a collection of what's considered Alpine states.
I never would have put that. Nope, not at all.
No, me either. So yeah, David, didn't work out for her because she got 2 years in prison. So no money immediately or monthly, and 2 years in prison.
Yeah. So, I mean, key takeaways, she didn't know a good prosthetist, and they found the hand and were able to put it back on. Like, that's just, and in clear browser history. Those are your three takeaways from this story.
Yes. So just to restate, if you are going to cut off your own hand and go to the hospital, go ahead and take the hand.
Correct.
But then before that, really probably before you do the hand thing, before you cut the hand off, that's when you clear your browser history.
Correct. Because
you're done with that information. Then cut off your hand. Put it a little baggy because you've already said it was an accident, right? Because you were cutting trees.
Right.
So put it in a little baggy. Maybe even put on some ice. Bring that hand to the hospital.
It should be pretty easy. One would think it would be that easy.
Well, I mean, that's how you did it, right?
That's exactly how I did it. Yeah. Oh, wait, what?
Huh?
Nothing. No, I didn't do any of that. It's fine. Just don't call the guy I know.
Well, Dave, as a listener of the show, you know that this is where we have to deliver bad news to the listener.
Yes, I know.
Because we don't have time for any more stories, but I do have a headline before we go.
Oh, let's hear it.
And this isn't dissimilar to the story we just discussed.
Okay.
The headline is, man tosses his penis out of car window during car chase with police.
Oh, how old is that article? What era was that? That sounds really familiar.
I know it sounds familiar, but it was recent. This is a recent incident.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep. So sorry, listeners, but we will make every possible effort to get to that in a future episode.
Gosh, I hope so.
But until then, Dave, how about birthdays?
Let's do it. All right. We've got some powerhouse birthdays this week. We've got...
And before you start, hang on. I want you to know that since you were coming on the show, I intentionally chose some very 80s-centric birthdays.
I'm looking at these, and I'm loving it. Absolutely.
These are for you, Dave.
All right. Here we go. So first off, we've got Mr. Carlton himself. Alfonso Ribeiro turns 50. The wonderful Catherine Zeta-Jones turns 52. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Mr. Will Smith, turns 53. Scottie Pippen turns 56. Heather Locklear turns 60. Mr. Charles in Charge, Scott Baio, turns 61. Joey Gladstone, Mr. Dave Coulier, turns 62. Luke Skywalker, Mr. Mark Hamill, turns 70. The wonderful, the amazing Mr. Bill Murray turns 71. Bruce Springsteen, the boss, turns 72. From my home state of Maine, Mr. Stephen King turns 74. Mr. Michael Douglas turns 77. Sophia Loren turns 87. And in news that I'm shocked at because I thought she was dead, Barbara Walters turns 92 this week.
And by that, you mean happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Barbara. Yes.
Uh-huh.
We miss you on 2020.
So I think you would agree that in the 80s, all of these people played a very prominent role.
You got Full House, you've got Star Wars, you've got Ghostbusters, Caddyshack. I mean, Stephen King had an amazing run in the 80s. Barbara Walters. Yeah, absolutely. This is just Will Smith had his rap career back in the 80s. I mean, yeah, absolutely. This is a killer list of birthdays.
Well, my gift to you, sir.
I appreciate that. I really do.
All right. How about some born this week, but now dead?
All right. Thank you, Clay Groves. I have just one person who was born on this day, but is now dead. Mickey Rooney, who was not big in the 80s, but probably big in maybe the 40s, maybe the 50s, but that's about it. He died in 2014 at the age of... Oh, but what was common in the 80s was Dana Carvey's impersonation of Mickey Rooney. That was big in the 80s.
Yes, classic impression.
So Mickey Rooney died in 2014 at the age of 94. Today he would have turned 101.
Oh, happy birthday, Mickey.
No, he's dead.
Oh, sorry. You're right.
So you're hoping Barbara Walters is dead. You're hoping Mickey Rooney is alive.
I would love to see that little... Just a flip-flop, that's all. But, you know, happy birthday to everybody.
To everybody. Even if you don't have a birthday. Everyone.
All of them.
All of the humans. All right, Dave, we have one more thing before we go today.
All right.
And this is something Adam and I actually meant to get to a long time ago. It's something you're familiar with probably as a listener of the show. We have a hotline message from a frequent caller.
Ooh.
Do you want to guess maybe who it is?
I mean, I'm just spitballing based on the last couple of weeks, but I have a strange feeling that it might be the one Mr. Peter DeVilbiss.
No, it's not Peter DeVilbiss. We would love to hear from Peter.
Yes.
I'm sorry I don't have a message from Peter while you're here. No, Adam and I would probably say the official supervillain of the show.
Okay.
That's right. We have Bane.
Oh.
Now, typically what happens is Bane will call in and then we'll also hear from Batman. And so the reason I've held on to this message is because I was waiting to also hear from Batman as a retort, because normally he will respond to Bane's message. But weeks have gone by, have not heard from the vigilante, and so we're just going to play Bane's message and see if that draws out Batman.
I love it. Let's do it.
Okay, here we go.
Good evening, Gravity Beards. This is Bane. I am calling to let Batman know that another one of his friends is now my friends. I'll let him talk for himself. Come over here.
Hi-yo, Kermit the Frog here, and I am calling from Muppet Central just to say two words to Batman. You suck. Thank you, Bane.
So you see, Batman, your friends are dwindling while my friends are increasing. Your play.
Oh boy. I mean, if this doesn't draw Batman out, those were harsh words from Kermit.
Yeah, brief, but harsh.
Harsh. Yeah, exactly. I just, I really hope that he's got some sort of a retort.
Well, I would say if Batman doesn't respond to this, then we've got a real concern because we need to wonder what happened to him.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I don't know.
But then also, Kermit, very prominent in the 80s.
Absolutely. Had a big run in the 80s. Absolutely.
So hopefully you have an appreciation for how 80s centric we made this episode just for you.
I really do appreciate it. I appreciate it 100%.
And speaking of that, as we said at the top of the show, you have an 80s centric show. Why don't you tell everybody what it is, what it's about, and where to find you?
Sure. Yeah. So this is something that my co-host Greg and I, we've known each other for a long time. We're big fans of 80s television. And so the next natural progression of our friendship was to start a podcast directly related to 80s TV. And so we started a couple long time ago with MacGyver. We moved into Knight Rider. And now we are currently covering the 80s classic Airwolf. We're about almost done with season two, so we got about two seasons left, and it's really just a good excuse for us to go back and, you know, looking at these 80 shows from the 2019-2021 lens, now, it just, it only enhances our appreciation for the show. So we just have a real, we have a blast talking about it. So you can find us all over the place. We're on Twitter at Airwolf Pod. We are on Instagram at Airwolf Years. We're pretty active on both of those. You can email us at letusblowyourmind@gmail.com. We're all over the internet. We just have a really, really good time with it. So give us a listen.
Yeah, and I can confirm that, well, first of all, and I'm sure it's because you guys have known each other for so long, but you guys have great chemistry. You're very, very funny. I appreciate the fact that you're very high energy. You both have great senses of humor, and you really know your stuff. So I would agree. Anybody that likes 80s television should be listening to your show.
I appreciate that. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so last week we had Trisha and Shauna from Two Girls on a Bench, a very funny show on the Podfix Network. You guys are also on the Podfix Network. So that's just two examples of two great shows. So by all means, check out our website for the network, and I'll give that information to you here shortly, because there's a bunch of other great shows.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are, I believe, and I could be wrong, but I feel like Greg and I are the newest additions to the Podfix. We've only been on for probably about 2 months now.
Yeah, because I think we're in the process of adding another show or two, but as of actively, yeah, I think you guys are the most recent, for sure.
But again, like Chris said, I want to reiterate, like, there's just so many great shows on the Podfix Network, so, you know, do yourself a favor and find a bunch of them and give them a listen.
Yeah, and here's another show that I recently launched also on the network. It's our sports podcast, and my co-host in this case is also named Greg, so it's called Armchair Radio. It's available anywhere you listen to podcasts. We do an episode for every week of the NFL throughout the NFL season, and we'll do some off-season stuff, but details at podfixnetwork.com. And now just some brief credits before we go. Come join us in our Facebook group. It's called the Gravity Beard Interns. Find us on Twitter by searching at This Week Pod. The number for the JonBenet Ramsey Crime Tips Hotline is 214-531-3936. We'd appreciate it if you would subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. This Week Today is a proud member of the Podfix Network. For more information, go to podfixnetwork.com or search at Podfix on Twitter. Thank you to our dear friend Phil Rood for our custom logo. For my special guest, Dave Champa, I'm your co-host, Toph. You've been listening to This Week Today. It's what your ears will want to be listening to.
This Week Today is a proud member of the Podfix Network.
Feel free to give a sign off if you like.
Awesome. I'm sorry, I had nothing. Sorry. Oh, I'm just going to sit here awkwardly and stare in the camera. What?
Perfect. Nailed it.
Great.